We're really excited about what we're going to do today. Who else is excited about what's going to happen today? Amen. Amen. In case you missed the announcement early on, if this is your first time here, welcome. We're thrilled that you're here. We'd love to meet you afterwards. We have a hospitality room, and you can stop by there and get some free stuff. Who likes free stuff, right? Yeah. So get some free stuff and meet with us. But you may be wondering, wow, this is kind of a unique decorating motif we've got going on here. That's because we're getting ready to kick off our vacation Bible school program next week. It's glow crazy for our big God, and so it's going to be all neon. So that's why we're giving you a little taste of preview of that. So we're looking forward to that. There's still you can sign up and all that good stuff in the lobby there. But for a minute, I just want to, we're going to turn it over to Wes and Jess here in a minute, but preacher got to preach a little bit, all right? So, I just wanted to share with you as a reminder and an encouragement why we take time on a Sunday morning to celebrate the anniversary of Celebrate Recovery. 13 years, right? Yeah, 13 years, yeah. 13 years of Celebrate Recovery as a ministry. Why do we do that? Why is that so important? And in Acts chapter 11, I felt the Lord talk to me this morning about this. In Acts chapter 11, the book of Acts is the birth of the New Testament church and what they did in the aftermath of Jesus. And of course, our vision as a church is to be a community of believers as described in Acts 2. In Acts chapter 11, we see the birth of really and the growth of what is called the Gentile church. It's moved beyond Jerusalem. It's moved beyond the Jewish people. And now anybody who's not a Jew could receive the gospel and receive the power of the Holy Spirit and receive the abundant life that Jesus promised. So, and it all started as a result of persecution, because the Christians were being persecuted in Jerusalem, and so they fled Jerusalem into other areas, and when they went, they took the gospel with them. And then God opened this door and said, no, it's no longer, my word is no longer just for the Jewish people, my people, but for all people. And so they spread and they took the gospel with them. And in Antioch, in Syria, the church really took root and became a home base, if you will, and a starting point for a lot of the gospel being spread into the earth as we know it. But what's interesting, that's in verse 19, that those who were scattered because of the persecution. And it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. And then the disciples back in Jerusalem catch wind of this, and they send a guy named Barnabas to go check it out and make sure that it's legit. And he goes there and he encourages them, and he's saying, yeah, this is a good thing. And he says, you know what? There's so much work to be done here. There is such a great need. We need somebody else to come up here and be a help. And it says, and he left, Barnabas, he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So this is where Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, really gets his start in ministry. And it just struck me this morning that whole thing, that whole process started by taking a risk. Barnabas took a risk by going to the guy who was still kind of untested, who had been the biggest opponent of Jesus Christ that they had ever seen or heard of. The persecution and that drove the people out into these areas was because of Paul. And yet God got a hold of him, and Paul gave his life to Christ, and as fervent as he was in opposing the gospel, he became doubly fervent in promoting the gospel and spreading it. But it's a risk. They took a risk to do that. And God calls us to take risks, to step out of our comfort zone, out of what we can control, out of what we think is safe and neat and clean and easy. But in the risk, there is great reward, because that's where he does his best work. And so 13 years ago, when we launched Celebrate Recovery, it was a risk. We had tried it in the past and couldn't support it. And so we recognized that we needed people, aside from pastoral leadership, to lead this. And you are intentionally reaching out to the hurting, the broken, those people. Just like the Jewish people were saying, oh, those people. That's a risk to go into a different area, into a different venue, into people who think or have different experiences, and to share the gospel. That's outside of my comfort zone. That's a risk. But look what God did. The church exists today because Barnabas took a risk. Celebrate Recovery exists today and is flourishing, and hundreds of people have had their lives radically transformed because we took a risk and said, we're going to do this. And that means putting, you know, taking risk on people. Come on over here, guys. And when I came on board full time, 7 years ago, one of the first things Pastor Rick asked me to do was to oversee the Celebrate Recovery ministry, and it's been a journey. But Wes and Jess have been faithful. I've come alongside them and watched them grow and mature in leaps and bounds. And when the time and the opportunity presented itself to have leaders, established leaders in Celebrate Recovery, there was no better choice than two people who have and continue to epitomize and live out the values and the principles and the steps of Celebrate Recovery. There's no better people to reach the hurting and the broken and the addict and all that stuff than people who have been through it. They're the best teachers. And so, you know, it's easy to say, well, that's a risk because, man, I don't know. But look what God does when you take a risk, you know. When the Spirit prompts you and you say, this is what you're going to do, God's in it and he does his best work there and he gets the glory and our lives get transformed and the devil loses and that's a win. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So please welcome Wes and Jess.
So I just have one job, and that's to share our mission and vision. Because I said, Wes, do you know the mission and vision? He's like, no. It's always on the screen.
I know it, but not by heart.
Yeah, he knows it. He knows it. But before I share that with you all, I just want to say thank you to every person who has supported Celebrate Recovery, and thank you to our leaders and volunteers. And I thank God. I thank God for what he's doing, the lives that he's restored, including ours. When I think of that word ruins, I mean, our marriage was in ruins at one point in time in the last decade and for a while. And the Lord healed us, started on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit working in each of us individually. And then he took our union and he healed that too. So thank you, Jesus. So our mission is, yes, let's give the Lord a praise for that. And I don't think we didn't coordinate because we already changed the slides over to Wes's slide, so it's not on the slide for this service. But our mission is to, if you know it, say it with me, to bring fellowship with God to those who are lost and hurting. And our vision is to release captives from their hurts, habits, and hang-ups through biblical growth. Amen.
See, I knew it. I just wanted to hold hands. Thank you, Jessica. So good morning, everybody. And Cliff already preached what I was going to preach on, so if anybody's got anything to do for the next 40 minutes, we are good. We can have... Yeah. Uh-oh, my little clicker thingy's not clicking. Seth, help. Nope. There we go. There we go. All right. All right, guys. So, hey... This slide we could probably skip over because Cliff kind of already did our little preemptive. Why Celebrate Recovery? Why do we do this? Every year, the church just blesses us with an opportunity to come in and talk about Celebrate Recovery. Why? Plain and simple, it's just to offer each and every one of you an opportunity to grow. You can grow not only in your walk, but you can also recover from your past. It is a recovery program, but as I was doing this, as God was working with me this message, and let me tell you something, this week has been a doozy of a week. I really feel like God needed me to go through the entire process of Celebrate Recovery again in order to offer Celebrate Recovery to you today. Celebrate recovery. It is an opportunity to grow and recover from your past. And I know it. I know you guys. I know there are at least 50% of you guys thinking, okay, it's Celebrate Recovery Weekend. Wes is going to get up here and tell me all the things wrong with me, why we have to go to Celebrate Recovery. And guess what? You're doggone tooting. Don't you threaten me with a good time. Shoot. Have you guys ever, do you guys remember a couple years ago, I think it was I think it was Jeff Foxworthy that did the You Might Be a Redneck. You guys remember that? You might be a redneck if, you know, your third cousin is also your spouse. Stuff like that, you know. But Jessica put this out on our Celebrate Recovery Facebook page, and she was like, you know, under the same premise of you might need CR if. And of course, you know what? Everybody thinks of Celebrate Recovery as it's a recovery program. It's for all those people that have drug problems and alcohol problems and other kind of problems that need recovery. And it definitely is. So you know what? You might need CR if you are watching TV and a recovery center commercial comes on and everybody turns and looks to you. You might need Celebrate Recovery if you are on a first name basis with either pawn shop workers, Amazon drivers, bartenders, oh doggone it, or Dunkin' Donut employees. I know it. Nobody ever sees me without a coffee in my hands at some point. I know. That's why I go to Celebrate Recovery. But you know what? You might need CR if you have a hurt. Oh, all of a sudden it's going to get quiet in here. If you are looking over at a loved one and thinking, I'll never be enough for them, you might need CR if you're thinking, you know what, do my friends, do they really like me? Do they just put up with me? I'm not that great. You might need CR if you think being hit or yelled at is part of a normal relationship. You might need CR if you are stuck in the pain of past relationships, whether they're romantic, parental, I don't care what they are. If you're still stuck and you think about that past relationship, come see us on a Tuesday night. You might need CR if you have a habit. Hey, if your clothing smells a little bit like barbecue from not from being at a barbecue, but because you have a cigarette every like 33 seconds, you might need CR. You might need CR, again, if you're drinking a Keurig Dunkin' Donuts coffee on the way to pick up your Dunkin' Donut coffee. But there we go. You can't lead somebody back from a place you ain't been from. If you need extra phones to watch movies, I'll let you figure that one out. You might need CR if you can't say no to the next drink. You might need CR if you have a hang-up. If you are angry way more often than you should be, you might need CR. If you are constantly comparing your body to someone else's, you might need CR. If you can't give up control to anybody else in your life, you might need CR. If you live in constant anxiety, you might need CR. But why this ministry? How is this going to help? And I started thinking about this, and CR, yes, it is a recovery ministry. Definitely, absolutely, 100%. As you unpack the layers of what CR is really trying to do, CR is a discipleship ministry. And I want each one of you to stop. When you put CR in your head, I want you to start thinking about how CR might make you a better disciple. It was earlier this week, Jessica was talking about something from her job. And she was mentioning that she had got on, she's constantly doing training. And she said that in her job, she works for one of the local hospital networks. And they were talking about how their interactions with people affect that those people and how they view that health network. And I'm going to challenge each one of us as believers, more than likely, and you may not even be aware of it, your hurts, habits, hang-ups of the past, they're probably affecting your ability to do ministry. They're probably affecting the way that you view the world around you, how you evangelize others, who you talk to, how you might interact with somebody. And I tell you what, God has called each one of us into the ministry of evangelism. If it's not by getting up here and preaching a message, it's by living our lives in an honorable way that shows him to everybody else around us. Amen? Cliff already said it this morning. We always talk about how God does things. Gives us a little glimpse that he's behind something. Great things do not happen by staying in your comfort zone. I understand. There might be the thought of Celebrate Recovery it may not click with you. But I am telling you, I have seen people's lives changed for the better. I have seen people come into Celebrate Recovery that would actually recoil at the thought of giving somebody a hug. And I have seen people like that now come up and they cannot wait to interact with one another. Again, the way your hurts, habits, and hang-ups of the past may be affecting the way that you are showing Christ to others. So discipleship, again, Wes, I thought CR was all about recovery, you know, like drugs, alcohol, hurts, habits. And yeah, we definitely explore all of those things. However, we look to find freedom from all of those things and not staying stuck. In Genesis 19, we see the entirety of someone who comes to Celebrate Recovery being played out through the extended story of Lot's wife and Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis 19, we see sins of every kind. We see sexual addiction, we see abuse, we see violence, we see bad parenting, we see drunkenness, incest, bad marriages, the whole gambit. We see it all. And what strikes me is that the Lord provided a way out and deliverance for Lot and his family. In this story, we see that this follows right after where Sarah and Abraham are being told that they are going to have Isaac. And Sarah kind of laughs and the angel overhears them. That's actually where Isaac gets his name. In Hebrew, Isaac's name is Hineani, he who laughs. That's where he got his name, because Sarah was like, really? You wait till I get old to give me a baby? And right after that, we see that those angels that were sent, we see God sends them then onto these two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. While they're on their way, you know, Abraham, right before the angels go on, Abraham kind of challenges God. He's like, God, are you really going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And God's like, hey, you know what? I hear nothing but this, you know, prayers upon prayers, crying out of what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. It is just awful. Like, so yes, I'm going to have to cleanse that from the earth. And so Abraham challenges him. He's like, but God, what if you find 50 people that are worth saving? Are you still going to destroy the whole city? And God's like, no, if you find 50 people, it'll be all right. And Abraham keeps pushing the ante. He's like, well, what about 45? And all of a sudden, he becomes a reverse auctioneer. You know, 45, 30, 35, 20, 25, 30. Finally, they get down to 10 and kind of leave it there. And then we pick up and we see where the angels enter the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they meet Lot. And Lot takes them into his house. It's approaching nighttime, and he knows what's going to happen to them. And sure enough, here comes a crowd hearing that these two strangers are there, and the crowd starts to immediately surround them. And Lot's like, "Here, get in here where it's safe." As they do that, I stopped and I think, what happens just after that? Lot goes and talks to this crowd that is trying to grab what they think are two men and pull them out so that they can have their way with them for the night. And Lot's answer was, "Hey, I got two virgin daughters right here. I'm going to throw them out of the door. If you guys leave these two guys alone, then you can have my two daughters." Ladies, anybody have any hurts, habits, or hang-ups due to the bad parenting of a father? Yeah, happens. After that, we see that the two angels are like, no, we're going to get out of here. We're not doing that with your daughters. We're going to make a way. God's going to get us out here. And they're talking, and Lot's like, the angels are like, run for the valleys. Just run, get out of here, get. And they're like, no, we can't make it that far. So instead, you know, can you just promise us safety until we get to this little town, Zoar? Actually, as I understand, that's what the town actually meant, or the name of the town, Little Town. Who knew? And the angels are like, we will hold off until you get to this place. God's giving them a way out. Lot's wife, in the middle of all of that, knowing the sin that's back there, what does she do? She turns around and looks back after God gave instruction, do not turn around, do not look back, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Do not look back there. Keep looking forward. Get to this place of safety. And it's right then. The Bible says that Lot's wife turns to a pillar of salt. She's stuck. So imagine, you're in this whole group that's traveling along to safety. What was promised to you? All of a sudden, your mom is now turned into a pillar of salt. Anybody here that might have some past, maybe no longer misforgiveness towards God? Maybe something didn't go the way that you thought it was going to go? Yeah, there's that hurt too in that story. I'm sure that Lot's children were like, what? In fact, I believe it's confirmed in the next few verses after they do get to safety. Lot's daughters, they say, they're talking to one another. They make a plan. They're like, hey, you know what? Sodom and Gomorrah just got destroyed, burnt down, fire, brimstone, gone, no longer there. There's no guys around here. You want to get dad drunk and... That's in there too. Ladies, gentlemen, there may be some kind of hurt that now has you involved in something that you never thought that you would be involved with. It happens to each one of us. That's why I always wonder when we are here on CR Sunday. I have heard in the past, CR is not for me. There is not a person here that a hurt, habit, or hang up has not been a part of their life, and they need to not only recover from that, but to be set free from it, and to then turn that into a testimony of how God used that in their life. That's what we call being a disciple. It's about moving from where we were when we are just stuck in that sin, stuck in that unforgiveness, stuck in that hurt, stuck in the habit, stuck in that hang-up. And we're just like Lot's wife, just a pillar of salt. We can't move. But Scripture tells us in Philippians 3 through 8 through 14, God is going to show us that how we move on, how we press on through life. Verse 8, if you guys want to read these, I have 8 through 14 broken up. If you would, read them with me. It says that more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surprising value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is found through Christ, through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay a hold of that for which also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that is a really long verse, some really tough language, especially going from, you know, the very precise the way that the Bible is written in language. So we're going to get the West paraphrase. You are not going to find this in any book. This is not the message. This is not anything. This is the West version. So we now have, in comparison, the hurts, habits, and hang-ups that I think are huge are not that big in comparison to knowing Christ as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus, I find salvation and acceptance I could not find anywhere else. Not in being good or living for the world. I found it only by having faith in him. I realize I don't have this when it comes to life. I have figured out that what is most important is not my past. No matter how messed up or troubled, what is important is that I press on toward the goals found in the upward spiral of life that happens when I live my life for Christ. That is what Celebrate Recovery is all about. Remember at the beginning, I said CR is really not just summed up in recovery. It is actually about discipleship. So what are you talking about, Wes? Well, in Celebrate Recovery, we follow 8 principles that Celebrate Recovery are all about. In those 8 principles, and in CR, we realize that we are not God, that I'm powerless over my sin. And so what do? That we bring others to Christ. In CR, we realize God exists and wants to help us in all things. We bring others to knowledge that God wants us to have an abundant life. In CR, we learn not to deny that a problem exists, but that God has the power to help. We learn to pray and to pass problems to Jesus. just this week at Celebrate Recovery, I must have had I had three different conversations. Each one of them ended with the same premise, is that absolutely none of us were designed to be pillars that were to hold up the hard things in life. Not one of us was designed with that kind of strength in mind. Instead, God designed us to be conduit. What does conduit do? Any builders here? Electricians? What does a piece of conduit do? If you don't know, a piece of conduit allows something to move from one area to another. We are designed to be conduit that allows our hurts, habits, hang-ups of the past to move from trying to carry them on our shoulders to handing them over to Jesus Christ. That is what we learn in CR. That's the type of discipleship that we learn. In CR, we learn to commit our whole lives to Christ's care and control. We learn to submit to Jesus. Okay, God, maybe this isn't the thing that I wanted. Maybe this isn't the way that I wanted my life to go. This isn't the thing that I wanted to have happen. But God, I recognize you are God and I am not. And that in that, your word promises that you can take all things and make them good according to those who are called to Christ's purpose. Amen? In CR, we learn to examine ourselves for our faults and to admit those faults to ourselves and to God. In CR, we learn to live with humility. We recognize that, you know what? Sometimes the problems that we experience in life, Cliff preached this just a couple weeks ago, sometimes the problems, we need to be mature enough as Christians to look inside and say, you know what? Some of that problem, it might be coming from inside this black shirt. Insert whatever color shirt you're wearing. Hopefully you're wearing a shirt. In CR, we learn to voluntarily submit to changes Jesus wants to make in our lives. We learn that he is the potter and that we are the clay. And what I love about CR so much, it teaches us to be willing to change. Not just reluctantly to go on, to be reluctant and say, I'll change if I gotta. No, CR takes us through all those hurts, hang-ups, habits of the past, and says, okay, you know what? If you are willing to change, God can do something amazing with this area that you struggle with. That's now how somebody who used to be an alcoholic and a drug addict is now, the church took a chance and is now the ministry leader with CR with my wife. God will not leave us stuck. God not only gives us a way out, but again, as I've said before, he gives us a way to press on. In CR, we learn to evaluate the relationships around us. At CR, we forgive. We learn to forgive others, and we learn to forgive ourselves. There are lots of times where I'm in CR, and I'll be talking with somebody, we'll be in ministry, we'll be, you know, just kind of hanging out afterwards, and people are like, Wes, I know I forgave that person, but you want to know something? The hardest person in all of this is, that I'm trying to forgive is me. I'm going to be quite honest. There is nobody on earth that can beat up ourselves, that can whip us any harder than us. we hold ourselves to standards that are so high, so unattainable. People all around us will come alongside us and put an arm around us. It's okay. You know, keep going. You're going to be all right. Keep fighting the fight. I failed again. You don't know. This is now number 3,221 times that I have failed. Wait a minute, I made a mistake. It was 3,222. Nope, doggone it. Now because of that failure, it's 3,223. See how it just keeps on going? That's us. Each one of us. In CR, we learn to take time daily to restore and enjoy our relationship with Jesus, to read our Bible, to pray, and to journal. We learn the discipline of maintaining our relationship with Jesus even when it's hard. So we know what Jesus wants to do in our lives. In CR, we learn to yield our lives to God and to bring not only the good news of CR, but we also learn to bring the good news to others. In CR, we learn to effectually and boldly evangelize and to use our spiritual gifts. In CR, we learn to be disciples of Christ. So my question now to each one of you is, do you believe CR could help you in your life? Music team, you can start coming up. Do you believe that CR can benefit you? Do you believe that CR can help you in your life? If so, on Tuesday nights here at the church, beginning at 5:45, CR, we have a dinner. See, at CR, we also learn the importance of fellowship. We learn that in life, we have to take time, slow down, break bread with one another, talk to one another about our lives, be willing to say to another person, hey, you know what? That thing that you're struggling with, you know what? I want to come alongside you. I want to help you with insert problem here. And you know what? Since I'm helping you, hey, maybe you can hold me accountable to insert great thing that you're trying to add to your life here. One thing that I forgot to mention about Celebrate Recovery, we celebrate not only the unwelcome things of our lives leaving, we also celebrate the great new things that God has added to our life as well. So if you're like, why would I go to Celebrate Recovery? I'm starting a new exercise program. Well, you know, want to know something? In 3 months of doing that exercise program, you can get a 3-month chip. You can do that at Celebrate Recovery. You can celebrate the positive things. Maybe you've already worked through your bad stuff. That's fine. We love to celebrate the good stuff just as much as the bad. Celebrate Recovery, we learn to keep our lives balanced so that we're not looking just at the things of our past behind us that we wish weren't there. We also look where God is taking us, because God called us to press on, to keep moving, to not stay stuck, to become a better version of ourselves, so that when there is somebody who I normally would not take the time, I don't like those kind of people. They eat chocolate chip cookies, and I only like oatmeal raisin. I guess I will share the good news of Jesus Christ, and I guess I will share the good news of Celebrate Recovery with those people that like chocolate chip cookies. We learn to press on. We learn. God, tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, God has called us to a very real purpose, to go out and to make disciples. That's a commandment. We are to go out and to make disciples of all the nations. We don't get to pick and choose. God did not say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you a pass on evangelizing to that person because they don't like or because they like chocolate chip cookies. God does not care. God looks at us and he says, get past yourself. Get past the hurts, get past the hang-ups. I need you to be the best version of you that you can be so that you can go out and reach my people. Celebrate Recovery is so much more than you think. It is so much more rich. It is so much more deep. It is so much more powerful than you could ever, ever imagine. I'm going to say to you right before we go to communion, will you take a chance to finally take a risk and say, you know what, I'm done with this hurt, hang up, habit, and I'm ready to press on in my life. If you would, I want to take a moment. I'm just going to ask everybody to close their eyes. The very first step in that is recognizing, are you ready to take that first step to press on in your faith? Maybe you have been fighting and fighting for years, months, weeks. Maybe today is the first day you ever heard about this Jesus guy. But today you want to press on into knowing him not as a guy from history, this person that we hear bantered about in sometimes in our lingo, in our culture, but for the very first time, you want to stop and you want to know him as your Lord and Savior. You're ready to submit to him for the first time. That's the first step that has to take place. Give your life to him. If that is you today, would you press on into that? And would you either look up at me or raise your hand so that I can see you? I can acknowledge that today is your day that you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Is there anybody doing that today? If I'm not seeing you, please press on. Raise your hand. If today you have finally recognized that Jesus really can help, Jesus really does want that thing of my past to be my past, so that I can press on, that I can be a more effectual servant of his, would you now commit to at least giving Celebrate Recovery a chance in your life? If that's you, would you raise your hand? I see you. I I see you. I see you up top in the back. I see you in the balcony. Right before we go to the Lord's Supper, would you just pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you do not leave us stuck like a pillar of salt. Instead, Lord, you gave yourself. You died on the cross to empower us through the Holy Spirit to press on. Lord Jesus, I commit to press on so that I can reach others for you. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you right now, Father, for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to go to your table right now to celebrate what you did on the cross for each one of us. For those that are still sitting on the fence, Father, I just ask that you would continue to embolden them and to encourage them this week so that on Tuesday night we can see them walk through the doors of Celebrate Recovery. We thank you, Father, for doing it. Amen.